This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. We'll have Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, coming up in just a little bit to help us navigate some of the schedule drops, impact to the Chiefs, what he's taken away from it, how things have looked at rookie camp, all of that stuff. So stay tuned there. Tommy, look around the sports universe yesterday. Boy, I got to tell you, the NBA playoffs, if Jason Tatum has the feared Achilles, That sucks. We already lost Dame. Lillard already had this happen. That's such a crap injury because it knocks the dude out for the next season too. Like Jason Tatum, one of the best players in the league. That's been such an interesting and compelling series and all of these things happening. The Knicks go up 3-1. Man, if Tatum's out and then he's out next year, what a bummer. That would just absolutely deflate. That sucks.
Well, and keep in mind how great he was in that game before he went down with the injury. I mean, he scored 42 points in the game. And, of course, ultimately the Knicks win the game and go up 3-1 in the series. And at that point, you know, assuming that Tatum is pretty seriously hurt and out at this point, I can't imagine there's any way that the Celtics can come back down 3-1.
No, I don't think so. And that kind of sucks for the Knicks, too, because you want to see the Knicks get them if they're fully healthy. Now there's like some excuse, a little bit anyway. We have the Steph Curry injury in the other series as the T-Wolves go up 3-1. Like, injuries have sort of become a story of this NBA postseason. Damian Lillard went down, and now it may blow up the entire Bucks franchise because all the talk is about, you know, moving Giannis or whatever, whether he needs to go. Like, all of this stuff has been brought on by these dang injuries, so... That was a bit of a bummer, kind of deflated the NBA, I thought, last night. And then the other big story yesterday is Luka. I mean, sorry, not Luka, but, you know, kind of Luka. The Mavericks get the lottery. What in the world? Like, this sometimes the lottery seems too manufactured, right? You remember the Tim Duncan? Sometimes you're like, there is no way. And the Mavericks, I don't think, have ever won it, have they?
They have not. They had the fourth lowest odds ever to get the number one pick. I think I saw that
1.8%. I mean, that is, I think that the draft lottery is compelling. I'm not a conspiracy theorist for sports, but come on now. Like, that seems crazy. By the way, not being talked about at all are that the Spurs are second. They're going to be able to get a really good piece to put with Wimby. I'm telling you, the Spurs are building a championship, another little dynasty here. because they won't miss on that pick. They never do, it doesn't seem like. The 76ers are third. The 76ers have some talent on the roster always. Like if you're the Hornets and you're down there at four, and you're like, seriously? Or the Wizards at six? Like, you're like, come on. Like, what do we have to do to get a Cooper flag? Like, these guys come around and it's like those franchises never have a shot at getting one of those guys. That's what it feels like. So I say I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and normally I'd be ecstatic that the Mavericks get the number one pick, but I don't think they deserve it because of what they did with Luka. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, is there anybody else in the draft class? And I know like nobody measures up to Cooper Flagg, but is there anybody else in the draft class that these teams can get excited about? I mean, I know that there's the big man from Baylor that was a freshman last year. Edgecombe is somebody that, you know, and he's not the big man, he's a shooting guard, but he was a great freshman last year for Baylor. He's out there that could be a top five pick. You know, the big guy from Duke, obviously, that played alongside Cooper Flagg. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's anybody else really in that draft class you feel really excited about.
Knepple's in there, but he's, I think, more toward the back end of the lottery of guys that we'd recognize anyway. The Rutgers dudes, I think, are the most, the highest, the two Rutgers players.
The Maryland kid, the center from Derek Queen from Maryland is in there. He's pretty good.
You remember Derek Queen? Yeah. I think he's supposed to be a lottery pick. I mean, it's not earth shattering, but the reality is we're going to know less about it. It's hard in the NBA because guys just don't spend a lot of time for us to see them play. Obviously Cooper Flagg does, but yeah, there's going to be good players in this draft. There's always good players in a draft. There are always players that are going to be impactful in a draft. And so the better chance, you know, teams like San Antonio who do such a good job, and so do the Mavericks, by the way, of evaluating players, you just give them a better chance to get it right now when you put them up at the top. Obviously Dallas is a no-brainer. They're going to do the obvious thing. But like San Antonio picking two, like they're going to find the next best player probably because they're San Antonio and that's what they do. And I'm not sure there's ever been a draft lottery more fortunate team than San Antonio for whatever reason. But yeah, they're going to pair somebody with Wimby.
I mean, going back to Dallas for a second. I mean, you've got Cooper Flagg coming in. And then that, I agree with you. I mean, that's a no brainer that Dallas does that. If Nico Harrison doesn't take Cooper Flagg, I guess we were shocked. We were shocked when he traded Luka. That would be the ultimate troll job right there. But anyway, assuming Cooper Flagg goes there, he more than likely will. If you can get Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving healthy, and I know Irving's coming back from an ACL and I'm not sure what his timetable is to return. Do those three guys have a nucleus there in Dallas that can make them relevant again, those three guys combined?
Yeah. Yeah, sure they can. Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the world. He's just never healthy. Yeah. I don't know that I think they could win a title right away, but yeah, sure. Is it the same as potentially in walking away from Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic? No. But, you know, like, down the road, they sure can. And you can rebuild your franchise around a guy like Cooper Flagg if you get it right. So it just doesn't feel like Harrison and that ownership group is going to be punished enough for the Luka trade because they now get Flagg.
How do you feel
That's
about
what it feels like to me.
How do you feel about this? Max just told me this. They're talking on ESPN right now about Dallas trading the number one pick to bring in Giannis to the Mavs.
That's what... Now, Giannis, I would say I'd probably be okay with it, but like that's what I was joking about yesterday. Like,
would you rather have really Cooper Flagg at number one?
They'll either say we're building through defense and we're going to take Derek Queen.
Well, but like, would you rather have Cooper Flagg at number one, or would you rather have Giannis on your team?
Oh, Giannis is what, 28? No, he's 30. Oof, man. That's a really
isn't that tough?
Good
I want to know when 30's old.
I mean, well, in the NBA
I
world,
recently
it kind of is
40, and it feels pretty old. Yeah.
Unless you're LeBron, 30 is old.
But 30 could mean you still have 6, 7, 8 good years,
right,
in the NBA.
And then you also have to keep in mind
if you're built like Giannis, it could be like LeBron, yeah, and you could have 12 more.
And you also have to keep in mind the pieces around, you know, Giannis and Cooper Flagg too. Like, you know, would you rather pair up Giannis with a healthy Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis?
In the short term, Giannis, Kyrie, Anthony Davis is more likely to win a title. Giannis is, I mean, maybe the best player. He has a stake on that claim. I don't know the answer. I don't know how I would answer that. I don't know. That's a really good one. I don't know if I would rather have a 30-year-old Giannis or Cooper Flagg now. Because of the ineptitude of the current administration, Giannis is going to give them a better chance to win in the short term. There's no question about that. What are the chances Dallas can show Cooper Flagg that he should be a Maverick forever? You know, like now, if it was Mark Cuban still, I would say it's Cooper Flagg for sure. No doubt about it, because that guy knows how to, you know, he knows how to take advantage of all of that. Giving an inept front office the best chance to win is probably Giannis. I mean, I'm high on Cooper Flagg. I've said this before. I don't know that I've ever seen a college player as polished as he looked last year. But to say that he's going to be better than Giannis is a bold statement. As good as you might think he could be, and he absolutely could be, to proclaim it as an absolute fact is probably crazy, because Giannis is one of the best players we've ever seen. I don't know how I'd answer.
I think it's got to be Cooper Flagg, and I love Giannis, and I think he is phenomenal. Obviously, he's a champion with the Bucks and one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA. But I think it's got to be Cooper Flagg, because if you end up trading that number one overall pick after getting it with 1.8% odds to get it, and you got it, and you've got Cooper Flagg sitting there ready and waiting to go to Dallas and be the franchise cornerstone of your team long term, but then you trade that away to bring in Giannis, then why did you even move Luka Doncic out of town at that point? Like, and I know you're kind of, it's hard to compare and contrast Luka and Giannis, because their games are, they couldn't be any more different between the two of them. But why not just stand pat before and not trade Luka then? Like, if you're going to get the number one pick,
and then you're just going to
trade that number one pick to bring in Giannis, just stay with Luka.
That's the problem. Again, if this was Mark Cuban in charge, Don Nelson in charge, I'd say Flagg is the choice. But knowing who it is now, I'm not sure. That's a really good one. I'm gonna think about that a lot today now. That'll be what I spend my time with. That's a good question. Felix Johnson joins us next. We'll talk a little Chiefs. We'll talk this schedule release when we return. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
I went early again. Dramatic pause.
You had a nickel for every time that happened to you. You'd be a rich man.
Yeah. That's
Juwan Taylor over there.
We're gonna leave this. We're gonna leave this as a PG-rated show, and I'll leave that statement alone. We welcome in Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider. We get NFL schedule nuggets dropped. Felix, let's talk about those first. We were you know, just sort of musing. I think we know about four of them: Eagles, Cowboys on the opener, and then Chiefs, Chargers on the Friday following are the two headliners. What do you think of the opener? You know, there were other choices. There were Commanders. We mentioned the Lions, Bears, Rams, probably as other good options. I think Dallas was probably the right pick, but they had some choices. Were you good with that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dallas. You're always going to they have a massive fan base, and it's really easy to pull, especially when they're a team within their own division has already won the Super Bowl. Easy to have the Super Bowl champs and the probably the most popular team in the NFL on the first night of the opening season. Just makes the most sense in the world. And then the following night to have one of your bigger media markets in LA, I know it's the Chargers, but then the Chiefs, the team that lost the Super Bowl, 1-2 out of the last three. So it's just about getting your biggest markets on TV as soon as possible.
We were talking about this in the previous hour, Felix. I think Jacob and I both feel like, to some extent at least, that there was some strategy involved in the mindset of the Chargers and having the Chiefs play them in Brazil as opposed to playing them in LA. For me, my thought process is the Chargers may not think there's much of any kind of home field advantage at SoFi Stadium. And so, you know, it might be strategic for the Chiefs to have to go international to play them as opposed to going cross country when you're going to have a lot of Chiefs fans showing up there in the red and yellow. Do you think there's any legitimacy to that, or was it more about, hey, we just want to have the best markets available playing Brazil?
I think all answers are applicable. I mean, it could work out to the point where you're saying that the Chargers, because it's a shorter flight from Kansas City to LA as opposed to Kansas City to Sao Paulo. Like, I mean, just off of the logistical standpoint of that. So I think that I think that it just makes sense from that standpoint. But also, the Chiefs are incredibly popular overseas, so they could have a decent showing in Sao Paulo. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be like it would be at Arrowhead or at SoFi. But at the same time, it could be a decent little smattering of Chiefs fans, and that might be more Chargers fans, or excuse me, more than the Chargers fans in attendance. So it could be one of those things where Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers brass were like, let's do something evil and conniving or whatever. But at the end of the day, the game's gonna get played between the yard lines. So,
well, they could have blocked it. I mean, they had the choice. Yeah. They didn't do it. They wanted it over there. They were fine with it. All right. So I didn't see this until just now. The NFL put out the international games, except they haven't officially announced the Chiefs. They put them all out of all the others out there, games all over the world. The most interesting thing to me on this is that the Vikings get the back to back thing overseas. So they'll spend a couple of weeks in Europe. They play in Dublin on a Sunday, the 28th, against the Steelers. And then they flip around and they'll play the next Sunday in London against the Browns. So the Vikings, they don't give up home games here. They get to spend, because this is going to start happening with how many of these there are. If I'm the Vikings, I don't hate it. I don't hate this, because you for sure have an advantage over the Browns in the second game, as you've already been over there, right? Like that's an advantage. Now, maybe you don't care because it's the Browns this year. But yeah. I think for the team that has to do that, like that second leg of it, you get an advantage over the opposition not having to make the travel that week.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, especially going overseas, and it's been obviously the NFL is going to keep growing overseas, going from one game to two games and now eight. And by next year, we're going to have an entire half of the season over there, or whatever the case might be. So I think you're all these different little advantages, like we're talking about, did the Chargers want the game in Sao Paulo because of this, that, and the third? It's the same reason why the Vikings are like, you know, we're going to have an advantage. We have a young quarterback. See if we can gain some momentum. And again, these are all things that work into their favor. If it doesn't work out, then there's reasons why. Like if you look at the Lions away schedule, it looks ridiculous. They got to go to Baltimore, go to Cincinnati, come to Kansas City. There's a lot of different things that Detroit has to deal with. That's not going to work into their favor, because they're losing their coordinators. So it's the NFL. There's 15 different reasons why everything works out, but being that we're looking at locations and the NFL is moving more and more, these things do factor in more and more because of things like the Browns going to go play the Vikings on the second half of back-to-back overseas.
Sounds like Chiefs and Broncos on Christmas Day, and the Chiefs are, you know, at least in the last couple of years, really tried to own Christmas Day, not unlike the way the Cowboys and the Lions have Thanksgiving. Are you a fan of that? Do you think that that's something that is good for the Chiefs and, you know, just kind of wanting to have them be synonymous with Christmas Day?
As long as they don't lose to the Raiders, like everything's fine. As long as they don't ever do
can
that
ruin
again.
Your holiday and pretty quick.
Exactly. Like Patrick Mahomes throws two pick sixes in a matter of like 7 minutes. It's like everything's fine as long as it's specifically the Raiders. You can lose to just about anybody else outside of the division on Christmas Day, and I'll be fine. Actually, probably not. But I think it is interesting. I mean, that's why Michael Jordan, I think it's kind of interesting. He's returning to NBC because he's a special contributor. Like these athletes get attached to events and days and whatever the case might be. Like you're saying, the Cowboys and Lions are attached to Thanksgiving. Michael Jordan's attached to NBC. Maybe the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid can be attached to Christmas Day in 5-10 years or whatever the case may be when we're looking back on this era, and they've won 3 Super Bowls, and maybe they'll go on to keep winning some more. And so I think you're absolutely right. They can attach themselves to an event, and if it can be Christmas, might as well steal some attention from the baby, I guess.
Yeah, it all makes sense. The NFL's doing this. I think there was a time where they were a little risky in expanding out of what has built them, which is owning Sunday and then Monday Night Football. Anymore, though, it's the product. I mean, we're getting excited about a schedule release.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost embarrassing, but it's true. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, we just wear it on our sleeves.
Previously, the draft was like the only thing that NFL fans had to look for in the offseason, and NBA fans had their, and obviously we're fans of everything, but like NBA fans, they had their investment in free agency and trades that would happen in the offseason. And then the NFL got a hold of that. Quarterbacks started moving in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, I guess you could date it all the way back to Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but we've seen over the last handful of years, the NFL is going to stay relevant because that's how you stay a business. I mean, Roger Goodell took a page out of Jerry Jones's business, or took a page out of his book. Just stay relevant, stay available, stay doing something, because people are going to pay attention no matter what.
going back to the very first game of the NFL calendar, that opening night game, Cowboys and Eagles, how do you feel, and we talked about this in the last hour too, how do you feel about the NFL scheduling a divisional matchup? I understand the rivalry. I understand you've got, you know, the defending Super Bowl champions at home to kick off the season. That's kind of tradition. But the fact that you've got a game in week one against divisional opponents when that early in the season, obviously it's the very first game. There are no playoff implications, at least at that point for that game. Are you on board with that, or do you feel like the NFL should have had a different opponent for the Eagles in that very first game?
I believe it was shortly after John Madden passed away, but Eric Shanks, the president of Fox Sports, had said something about when he was talking to him about programming games and scheduling games, and John Madden, obviously the legend that he is, he said, if it sounds like a big game, it probably is. Cowboys-Eagles, does it sound like a big game? Even going into this year, I know Brian Schottenheimer, feel how you want to feel about Dak Prescott. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Like, it is a big game. And going into just about every year, Cowboys-Eagles is a marquee game at any point in the year, whether because the Eagles are typically good, the Cowboys are typically noisy, to say the very least. If it sounds like a big game, it probably is. The night after, Chiefs-Chargers, legendary rivalry, sounds like a big game. It is a big game because we're seeing the Chiefs debuting, the Chargers coming back. So because it sounds like a big game, it kind of feels like a big game. You can kind of talk yourself into that. Browns-Vikings, the second leg of an international game, doesn't sound like a big game. It's not a big game. So it's kind of one of those easy rules. If it feels like it, it probably is. So it is a big game because it's Cowboys-Eagles.
By the way, here's a quick stat that I just saw. Okay. Did you know that in the history of the NFL kickoff game that has the defending champion as part of it, the league has done a divisional matchup only three times? And in every single one of those matchups, it was an NFC East matchup. Every single time.
That's the division. That's the NFC East. I mean, outside of markets like ours, what division gets talked about the most? Because it's the Cowboys, it's the Eagles, it's Washington, it's New York. They're massive markets. The Cowboys aren't even in the East.
I wonder how many times that's been the Cowboys. Is it an East thing or is it a Cowboys thing? I don't know.
I think it would be a Cowboys thing. It makes more sense to be a Cowboys thing. But who knows?
I did see as it was front office sports that had the news yesterday. I think that the Chiefs have become the biggest television draw now. I think they've even overtaken the Cowboys, which is wild to think about.
There's a bit of that Floyd Mayweather aspect of it all. Like, people want to watch them lose. Like, they're tired.
Absolutely.
Of
there's always all been of it. That.
And there's been that since they started winning Super Bowls, but there's like that with every dynasty. But particularly now, that's why Floyd Mayweather kept drawing on pay-per-views for years on years and had pretty boring fights, because people wanted to see somebody knock him out. Nobody ever did.
It's there's no question. It's, you've got a Lakers jersey behind you. That's why the Lakers draw better.
That's Yankee, last name loyalty.
You know, people want to see those teams lose. There's always, and it makes sports better. There's no question. Mm-hmm. Here's a fun one for you, Felix. What would you rather in mid May be talking about? Derek Carr and how his, you know, how much bad luck he perhaps had in the placement, where, how would he fare if he switched spots with Matt Stafford or Eli Manning over the years, or Bill Belichick's girlfriend and the drama surrounding that,
you know,
or Travis Kelce's hair.
You know, I'm 23 years old. I'm used to 20-something-year-old women getting kicked out of places. So that's kind of boring for me to talk about, especially in mid-May. The interesting part about the Bill Belichick thing is that it seems like, if you've done anything, if we will all watch the Patriots dynasty, everything was about, we keep it inside, it's controlled, nothing affects it other than the men in this room or the players or whatever you want to attach to it. And then Bill Belichick, of all people, gets caught up with an Instagram model of all, like, that's one of the most insane things. Like, it was not going to check it off of my bingo card at any point, at any year. So it's honestly insane, but I don't even know what to say about Bill Belichick. He's more like the Cowboys than he ever was like the Patriots at this point, at this day and age. And that's what's so mind-boggling. We're seeing character development in his early 70s, and it's not good character development.
I think he's an old guy that knows exactly what's happening around him, and he doesn't care.
That's because the thing. He's got some arm. He doesn't care. Everybody else should. Everybody else should. He doesn't have to because he, for what you're saying.
He's an old guy that got some arm candy. I was like, that's like he knows. He knows what's happening. Like, don't you think he knows?
Yes, but it that's the problem. It's creating the maelstrom around all of
that.
And he famously remember the entire time he was with New England, he famously preached like no distractions, only football, cut everything else out, nothing else matters. And like he's going against his own philosophy in that regard.
Like Bill Belichick's biggest product in his entire career is Tom Brady. What is Tom Brady most famously known for? Divorcing his wife and leaving his family because, you know what, we can play one more season. And his wife was a supermodel. And that's like that's what's insane about Bill Belichick doing this. Like, this isn't even Giselle. This is just some chick that's famous because of you. Like
just trying to find common ground with the young people, right? So we needed a young person to tell him what sussy baka means, you know?
I have no idea what that means. I've never heard that word before.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
You guys are going to have to go down a rung.
Can you say that again? What word was that?
Get you a 10-year-old girl and you'll learn all the new stuff.
No, please say that again because I want to know what that is.
Sussy. It's sus. You know, you've heard it sus, right? Sussy baka. It's...
What is baka?
I can't quite define it.
Are we sure that that's actually appropriate to say on the air?
It is. No, it is. It's 100%. And there's like what the sigma or beta or one of the Greek letters. I'm telling you.
Those are old. Those are old. Those are from my time. I'm getting up there. Yeah, those are old.
Sigma?
Beta males.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's just
like I'm just getting on. Like I'm just catching up to like cap, you know, and so I'm three generations back, probably.
Yeah.
On what the lingo is.
Are you going to explain what sussy baka is? Because I still don't know.
Yeah, it's like a higher version of sus, I think. I used to have Braxton Jones. Shout out Braxton. He would keep me apprised of what things mean.
Okay, so I looked it up. It's a combination of, you know, suspicious. And baka means stupid or silly. So you're, I guess, suspicious and dumb. Stupid. I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's my son yelled it at a neighbor kid last night. He said, "Oh, you're sussy baka," and I'm like, "Oh, I hope that's not a cuss word." We're screaming. No,
hoped it was because that would have made you super proud of your kid.
my kids will. They'll probably at some point in life have sailor's mouths, but let's hope it's not when they're in grade school. But you didn't answer the first part of the question. What if Derek Carr, Felix, Tom is going to make Tommy so mad. What if you switch Derek Carr and Eli Manning? Do you think Derek Carr could have had the kind of success Eli Manning had? Because his numbers are significantly better. Eli Manning's got a career passer rating of like 88. He would be a below average quarterback in the NFL today.
So would Joe Namath, and he made it to the Hall of Fame. So
Namath played like 65 years ago. Eli played like 12 years ago.
Exactly. And in the hyper evolution that we've seen the game move in these last couple of years, and I'm one of these people that's like, if you can't tell the story of football without this guy, and particularly Eli Manning's case, because of beating the undefeated Patriots and then doing it again a couple years later, I'm one of those guys. It's kind of a flawed issue, but I'm just one of these more drama based football fans. Now the Derek Carr thing, I was always the weirdest part about the whole Derek Carr's entire career, the biggest missed opportunity, is that the Raiders traded away Khalil Mack, got a bunch of picks back, and lost the trade. Like, that's insane that they didn't get a starter back. Like, they drafted Cleveland Farrell. Brian Edwards was like their only starter from that trade at all. And Derek Carr was blamed for the Raiders being the Raiders post 2002. And that's what's really frustrating, is that Derek Carr was a decent quarterback, and I think him going to the Saints, I thought it had some potential because the Saints were the Saints. They had X amount on their offense, and then their defense had been together. Cameron Jordan, all those guys had been figuring it out. But then everything got old too fast because it's the NFL. But I've always thought Derek Carr was a fine quarterback.
Yeah, that's
now, is he Eli Manning? No, because Eli Manning is won two Super Bowls, and he broke through and became one of those guys. And then the same thing can be said about Matthew Stafford. He won a Super Bowl. Usually these guys prove themselves and win a Super Bowl, or at least get close, because the quarterback position is the only one that can truly carry anybody.
But I do love that point about, can you tell the story of football with or without that guy? You can absolutely tell the story of the NFL without Derek Carr. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. That was my point, was more about Carr got bad luck at the draw and where he landed. Okay. That was fun with Felix Johnson. If you missed any of it, you can go back and catch it on the Odyssey app, by the way. Let's talk a little Royals tonight, Tommy. We got into it. Great outcome last night. Michael Wacha was very good. The offense definitely carried the load, which is great. The bullpen on the back end stepped in and finished things when, for the first time, a young guy, Cruz, struggled. They were able to sort of settle in and lock it in. No big deal. Now they continue this Astros series. They continue this stretch of schedule, which is going to be more difficult than the one that helped them go,
16 and 4 in their last 20.
So they'll enter this more difficult schedule, and we need to see some of that. They get Framber Valdez tonight, who's always good, maybe not quite as good this year, but always good with Bubic on the mound. And if they can win it, then you're going to look at it and like, man, maybe they could sweep a road series. So that's a good one to get that first one. For sure. It sets them up nicely for the series. Now they got to, they got to keep it rolling here and prove that they can do this kind of thing against these better teams. I think that's sort of the next step of this season. Schedule's turning again. The Boston series did not go well. Now let's, if you're the Royals, now let's show fans that we can beat these good teams too.
Yeah, I felt like Michael Wacha had a really good outing last night. 6 1/3. He got into a little bit of trouble in the seventh. Before Quatrero went to John Schreiber in the bullpen. But other than that, it was a pretty solid outing for Wacha, and it helps when you're spotted 7 runs early in the game. And again, we've talked about that so many times. That's the recipe for success for Kansas City. And we haven't seen them do it to that extent where they've spotted their starter 7 runs early in the game. Typically, it's 1 or 2, and that's been enough for the Royals pitchers to, let it roll. You would have loved to see a little bit of a better margin ultimately at the end of the game than 7-5 after you had a 7-0 lead. But again, that goes back to a young guy in Steven Cruz who kind of struggled there coming in relief. And so I think that that's something that you obviously he'll continue to work his way through and, grow up a little bit and take his lumps in the majors and hopefully not have outings like that in the future. But I do think that it's important for the Royals to try to maintain what they started in this series last night as it continues today and tomorrow in this short 3-game set on the road before they return back home to Kansas City. I do think one other thing to point out is that the Royals had 2 errors in the game yesterday. Drew Waters had kind of an inexplicable one in the outfield. They had 2 errors, and it ultimately ended up being okay because they had a large enough margin that they had some room to work with on that. It didn't kill them. But when this team is not hitting, and we talked about this yesterday, you've got to be sharp in every other aspect of your game. And so if you can't count on your offense game in and game out, like I don't go into this game tonight thinking, yeah, they're going to score another 7 runs. That has not been the offense this year. They've not been able to consistently put runs up on the board game in and game out. If that's not the case, if they don't have the kind of offensive output tonight like they had last night, then you also can't have 2 errors in the game tonight either.
I think it's a great point. I think it's one of the reasons why I keep like the offense stays front of mind because they haven't like the offense has to have like every once in a while you need games like last night. Ooh, bullpen guy that you've been able to count on all year stumbled. Oh, crap. Outfielder made a bad play. Like, you have to be able to bail those guys out too. It can't like it's you're playing with fire too much in a Major League Baseball season to every single night. Like, there can't be only one path to a victory for the Royals, which is to get out to a small early lead and have a perfect performance from the bullpen and the defense every night. They'll win games that way. They'll win probably more games that way than any other way based on what we've seen. But that's too, like, you have to be able to build in some cushion, and that's what the offense will do. And I still think that's what the offense can do internally. I think is the offense going to ultimately be what it is now later as far as personnel? I highly doubt it, but they can be much better than they have been. I was talking with Brandon Zinner yesterday. He had some good ones for me when I, because we talk about this all the time. And he was like, man, I looked last night, and going into last night's game, they had scored zero or one run only in like 25% of their games this year. They had done that more often than they'd scored more than four. So more often than they've had what you'd call a good offensive night, they'd scored zero or one run. Like that's where it just like, you can't be that razor thin. Like just get the offense up to league average, and this team's going to win a ton of games this year. And league average is in the cards for this offense. Like it is. Like they, like you just look at the players in the lineup and you look at it, you're like, well, yeah, that's going to be a league average offense. They just haven't played that way. So as we watch these series, how about two games in a row, Tommy, where they score runs? When was the last time, let me pull it up, when was the last time they had two straight games where they scored more than four runs? Have they done that yet this year? I'm pulling it up.
I don't know if they have.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I don't
looking
think
at every
so.
Time they scored more than four runs. No.
They did they in win. The Orioles series, they did. They scored four, and then they scored 11.
Okay.
They did do that.
They had one in the Rockies. They scored seven and then six. Four and then 11. So that's twice. So, oh, yeah, only twice this year have they been able to do it two times in a row. So there you go. There's something to, you know, to strive for tonight. Can you do it two? How about do it three times in a row? Do it in every game in a series. That'd be great, right? And now if they can get to Framber, they're going to have a chance, because I think in the third game, they're scheduled to go up against a dude who's never, you know, pitched in the big leagues. So look, it's all there. They're fine. Everything's great. I think when we look back at this in 2 months, hopefully all this is a fart in the wind, as the late great Roger Cornish used to say, and we're not even worried about it because the offense is doing what it's supposed to do. If let's say, Tommy, the offense figures it out, the pitching keeps going, do you think that's going to be enough to catch the Tigers by the time, you know, if that clicks all together, which we both think it will at some point? Will it be enough to catch the Tigers?
Yeah.
Tigers, man.
Yeah, I think
they're flipping good.
Yeah, I think it'll be a two-horse race. I mean, I think that Cleveland will be in the mix for sure, but I think they'll fade a little bit. I think they'll come back down to earth, and they already have. I mean, they're not nearly as hot right now as both Detroit and Kansas City has been. And so I think, you know, if we can continue to see the Royals click on these different cylinders, unlike what we saw last night, for sure, then yeah, I mean, I certainly think that they can catch the Tigers.
Cleveland's won 6 of 10, and that is, you're right, that's not as hot. That's what's crazy about this division right now. They've won 6 of 10, and yeah, they're losing a little bit of ground. I think the big difference for Cleveland, because I agree with you, is Cleveland's not going to do anything at the deadline. I don't think they never do. And I think both Detroit and Kansas City are absolutely going to be ready to pounce at the deadline to make themselves better. They're two franchises that have struggled for long enough. And I know they both made the playoffs last year, but they're both in a position to make very aggressive moves this year. And Detroit has been a high payroll team in baseball lots of times. They've just been rebuilding. They have no issue, I don't think, going down that road when the time comes. And I think the time is now. I watched some of that because it was the first game on yesterday, and I kind of had it on in the background as I was getting ready for to go out on set. They've snuck around and really put together an impressive lineup. We know their young pitching is good, but their offense is legit, and it's for real. Like they've got a bunch of bats in that lineup that are young. Like, this is not some flash in the pan for them. They have built this thing, and they're going to be good for a long time. The beat up on the Tigers days are well behind us.
And I know that you are a known and vocal Astros hater, and I totally understand why. AJ Hinch, of course, was run out of town, the scandals and all of that. He's had a revitalization in Detroit. And say what you will about AJ Hinch, and I totally get it, and I totally understand all the scandals. One thing that the guy does is win. He is a winning manager, right? And so that was a really, really, really smart move, I think, for Detroit to go and get Hinch and bring him on. Scandal be damned, because he wins. And that's what he's done. He's turned this organization around.
Not just that, he has experience doing it with a young roster, right? Like, he helped build that Astros dynasty that I think and I hope we're seeing the end of now. He helped build that. Like he was the, you know, he was the guy. And so it's very similar to what I think the Tigers are doing right now. Like they've got all these great young players all kind of coming together at one time. It's like Terry Francona, right? Like if you've got a bunch of good young players, you'd be well served to have Terry Francona be your manager. And he's doing a good job in Cincinnati. My bold prediction of the preseason is that they'd make the playoffs and they're a couple games under 500. National League's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that's what makes that so bold.
They're a couple games under 500. I think they would be 10 games under 500 if Francona was not there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, he that's what he does. And, you know, but I don't know if I'll be able to get that prediction to come true because it's going to take a bunch of wins to get a wild card in the National League. But that's the reason. Same concept as AJ Hinch being in Detroit. Same concept. By the way, your Braves. I know you wrote them off and gave them the Tommy Caster no chance, you know, after a week or so. They're a game under 500. You giving them any chance?
No, I'm not. No, because, I mean, the two teams in front of them, the Mets are playing phenomenal baseball right now, and the Phillies are the Phillies. The Phillies are, I watched the Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball the other night against the Guardians, and Kyle Schwarber, I mean, God, like, I don't know if there's been a better free agent signing. And I know it's been a couple of years since he joined Philly, but that was a huge impactful signing for the Philly. Schwarber is phenomenal, of course, Bryce Harper, all of that. So, and then Juan Soto plays for the Mets. I don't feel like the Braves have the firepower. I know Ronald Acuna is going to be starting a rehab assignment soon to work his way back. All of that. I mean, they're not out of it. They might be a wild card team.
It's going to be hard.
But I mean, keep in mind the Braves have won like what is it like seven like National League East titles in a row.
They ain't like winning the division.
They're not going to win the division. Like that's not going to happen.
Wild card spot.
Yeah.
But you look like to get that. So one of the Mets in Philadelphia are going to be there, right? And then at least one of the, you know, Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks like that. Now the Braves are talent wise. They're right there with a lot of those teams. They're only a handful. I mean, in reality,
they've got some bullpen issues that they got to figure out. Their closer Raisel Iglesias has really struggled lately and he blew another save last night and they won it on a walk off. But, you know, there have been issues there for sure. They don't have a ton of depth in their starting pitching. The bottom of their lineup is rough. I'm not totally like they could sneak in and get a wild card spot. And they have battled back. I mean, they started the year 0-7, by the way. So the fact that they're now one game under 500, yeah, they played better as of late. But I'm not giving them much of a fighter's chance in the National League.
20-14 since that start. All right, that'll do it for Sports Daily. Well, that felt like a show in the fall. It was fun getting the NFL schedule nuggets. We'll get more of those today. Those will drop throughout the day, so we'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. Royals, of course, we just were mentioning in Game 2 against the Astros. All kinds of fun stuff happening. We'll have Shreya Slada, our KU insider, as well in tomorrow.
So we'll have a lot going on.
It will be a Wednesday, and we'll be here for it. For Felix Johnson, for Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We appreciate all of you. We'll be back tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.